Hi, I'm Richard, and this is my friend Jay, and we're going to be talking together about seeing.
Hi.
So, Jay, how did you first come across seeing?
About 25 years ago, I was reading a lot of Jay Krishnamurti and other kind of teachers, and I started to go down to the Krishnamurti Center, and there was a friend that I met who used to run the Krishnamurti little local groups in my area. And he said to me one time, look, here's a book by Douglas Harding on having no head. And so I took the book away with me and then booked onto a workshop with Douglas in London. I think it was the following month.
So roughly what year was this?
This was probably 88, 88, something like that, 87, 88.
And what was the workshop like for you?
Well, there was probably 40, 50 people in the room. I think at that time, probably Douglas would have been 75. And what struck me was he was the youngest person in the room. You know, in terms of his energy and his vitality.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that's the first thing that really made an impact for me, that this guy with this white beard, who was probably in his mid to late 70s, was the, you know, his energy and vitality, he was certainly the youngest person in that room.
And so did you do some experiments?
I did the experiments, and I must admit, I did find the experiments, I was more conscious during the experience of my embarrassment. I was quite embarrassed at that time doing the experiment. So I wasn't really...
What, self-conscious?
Self-conscious, yeah, definitely self-conscious. Because it was a, you know, we had to go into the tube and it was quite, you know, with somebody you didn't know and it was something I'd never, ever done before. And I felt very self-conscious. And however, there was something about Douglas and something about what he was saying that really kind of struck a chord with me, and as I say, he was his own best advert. The energy, the vitality, and the passion that kind of came from him, and that's what I really loved about the workshop. Mm. But at the time, I didn't really think that I'd got the point. But I wanted to do another workshop, and I wanted to spend a bit more time with Douglas. So what I did was I purchased a book, and it was a series of essays by Douglas. And I was on the train, and I got back home to about 3 hours later, and I was in my bedroom just flicking through the book that I'd bought, and all of a sudden, I just had this kind of experience that everything was actually inside me.
Mm.
It was just a... at that time, it was a really big event.
Sure.
Everything was inside me. It's as if all the energy and consciousness that had been cramped up in me was all of a sudden freed.
Yes.
And that was the experience which I'll never really forget. And it felt, I was looking at my hands and thinking, my God, you know.
It's all within me.
It's all within me. And I was looking around and everything was in me, and everything was so clear and the colours were so vivid. And that was the real kind of experience to me.
So what happened next?
Well, at that time, I was practicing and teaching yoga and Tai Chi, and up until that particular time, I'd been doing some workshops and classes with a gentleman called John Klein.
Ah, yes,
and he was teaching the body approach of the non-dual kind of approach, and I'd always had a nice feeling with the body work, but I'd never really got the point at all. I'd been reading Krishnamurti and reading a lot of other teachers, but all of a sudden, in that moment, everything became so clear. I just felt I understood everything.
Because of this?
Yeah, and it was just so simple. And And the good thing was that I have over the years shared this with people, shared some of the experiments, and there is a, in my experience, there has been that people get the fact that there's no thing here, but they don't really have the feeling experience that everything's inside of them. You know, that can happen and does happen, but very often people can just have this experience that yes, there's nothing, no thing here, but it doesn't automatically give them the experience that my God, everything is inside me. And it just gave me so much freedom that when I did my yoga practice and Tai Chi practice, all of a sudden that imaginary line in the sand that I'd always drawn, you know, where everything outside of this line, you know, the world wasn't anything to do with me, wasn't me, and everything inside, you know, my thoughts, my emotions, those clusters of sensation, you know, was me. So
it's so liberating.
It was so liberating, Richard. And you know, I remember talking to somebody the day afterwards, and at that particular time, it was so clear that as I was sitting, there was no dividing line between the sensations that I was feeling in the body and the children that were laughing in the playground, or the wind, or the sound of the rain, or everything was, you know, why do we split them up into a me and not me? I mean, they're all experienced. All those perceptions are experienced at 0 point. So it kind
it's
of blew
a shock,
me away,
isn't it?
It was a shock. That particular time was a really big shock for me. And it was, you know, kind of life-changing at that particular time, because I'd struggled with reading, you know, the Zen and Krishnamurti, and reading the ancient Tai Chi texts, the ancient yoga texts, and, you know, there's got to be something more to this, and trying to work out Krishnamurti, you know, and all of a sudden in that moment, bah, I just understood the simplicity of it.
So this doesn't change, but the view out changes, our understanding.
Yes.
How has it affected you over the years, do you think, in different ways?
Mm. Well, to be honest with you, it's become my kind of central reality. It's a source of great refuge for me. And though I forget it sometimes, and I contract and cramp up again, you know, into a body mind. You know, it's very easy to get back into this expansion again.
It's so accessible.
So accessible and so simple. And I think that the beautiful thing about this approach is that it's so simple. I believe it's the purest and simplest, the most honest of so many approaches that want to lead you back to this.
And how do you think it's affected you in terms of relationships? You know, the face-to-no-face thing is very immediate, isn't it? But how has that affected you, do you think, generally or however?
I think it's the... To me, it's the true source of love, you know, just being completely open space for the other person.
Mm.
And so I think in my relationships, you know, it has had a, you know, profound effect, really, especially with my children and, you know, with my close friends and family. However, there are times, quite naturally, I become the little one, I cramp up and congeal, and that's fine too. I mean, that's you know, that's a, you know, it's a something that happens as well.
It's so immediate. I mean, I'm enjoying being space for you now. I mean, it's not a thought, it's just an experience.
That's
it?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And do you share this with friends? I mean, we know each other, and
yes. Well, to be honest with you, it's you know, before I teach the yoga or the Tai Chi, I always kind of take my stand as this, and it's always the heartbeat, though it's not done verbally necessarily. It's always the heartbeat of practically everything that I do, really. And there's an immense kind of creativity that evolves from this, that comes from this, and
living from the source,
yes. And I think I've learned over the years more so than when I first came across this approach. I've learned to trust it more, if that kind of makes any sense. And
say a bit more about that. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, before I would, the very often when I'd use it as a crutch, oh God, I've got this emotional experience or something. Let's become headless. You know, try and use it as some way to hoping that I'm going to
get rid of the suffering.
but I think over the years. It's not, we have to use language, and nothing's really deepened, but it has deepened in a sense that it's become, you know, very natural, and it's become very ordinary, and therefore, you know, for me, there's a lot of creativity that comes from this, and you know, I think over the years, though it hasn't deepened, but I'm just using language, it has deepened in the sense that it's become, you know, more ordinary and more accessible.
Your work is teaching Tai Chi and yoga, so you spend a lot of time aware of your body.
Mm.
How does seeing enlighten you in terms of your body? What reflections have you got on seeing and the body?
Mm. Well, I think for years, when I would study yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong with certain teachers, they seem to be interested in energy. They talk very much about energy and energy centers. But before I came across Douglas, I was working I was moving as a cramped up kind of energy as an individual.
Mm.
And I think that what's happened now is that once the consciousness and energy is liberated, it expands, it's more spacious, then you have the true understanding of some of the ancient texts about Kundalini or about energy and vitality.
Mm. And so it's a key that opens.
I think so too. I think so too. And I think there's so many people who do Tai Chi and Qigong and yoga, and they're doing it as a kind of exclusive kind of individual.
Mm.
And they talk very much about energy, but I do feel that they're never really going to touch and nourish that true potential.
Seeing reveals that your body is worldwide. Your actual sensations
absolutely.
Are merged with the world.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
One feels big.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And as I'm sitting here now, you know, there's no difference between the clusters of warmth that I'm feeling in my leg and the children that I can hear playing or the sound of the airplane. You know, it's all experienced right here, right now. There's no inside, outside.
Yeah. It's such a richly adorned space, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So in my own personal practice, if I can use that word, you know, my total attention is given to this, not to the body and, you know, to the movement necessarily. It's just my total attention is given to this space. And if I can, again, I'm using language again, if I can anchor in that, then I'm going to really stimulate and nourish and cultivate that inner potential.
Just one other thought before we finish. You mentioned at the beginning when you went to that first workshop, you felt self-conscious.
Very self-conscious.
How has that changed over the years with seeing? Do you feel there's a change there? You don't seem very self-conscious to me now.
No, I mean, I do feel what it has given me, Richard. It's given me, when I do experiments with somebody, if I'm getting somebody in the tube or something, I understand how they may be feeling now through my initial self-consciousness. So it gives me, you know, certain language patterns to help get over that with the other person. But I think, and also over the 20 odd years, I have developed my own ways of sharing this. And, you know, but no, it's the most beautiful experience to, you know, to, to being the tube. It's a wonderful thing, which I haven't done for quite some time. So, but yes, absolutely wonderful.
Suffering withdrawal symptoms.
Absolutely, yeah, I think so. Definitely think so. But it's such an amazing experience to, you know, to get in the tube, or even with the card. It's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I've used that many, many times. Yeah.
Face to no face.
Face to no face, absolutely.
Always fresh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Jay. Thank you.
Thank you.